Welcome back, folks. This is Porrick from the Humble Coach Podcast. I am joined today by a fantastic coach who owns Reebok CrossFit Tyneside. His name is Jordan Wallace. Jordan, thanks for joining me.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Great stuff. So, Jordan, first off, I suppose some people will know you in the CrossFit world anyways, in the UK and in Europe, because of your fantastic performances in the regionals and the open and stuff. But could you go into a little bit of your sporting background and how you would have got into coaching in general for the rest of us? So it gives a bit of a background on yourself, if that'd be okay.
Yeah, so I actually found CrossFit back in 2009. And prior to that, I did like long distance running. So things like half marathon, not super long distance, but half marathons, 10 milers, things like that. And basically what drew me to CrossFit was I just got bored of running.
Yeah.
So I got bored of running. I kind of achieved some stuff that I'd set myself that I wanted to do. And I was looking for something new. And I stumbled across CrossFit on, I think it was in a men's fitness or a men's health article. And it was about, it was just about functional fitness in the UK and this like movement that was growing. And I just Googled local affiliate. And there was two that came up, so I went to both of them. One of them was a lot easier for me to get to, so I ended up training there a lot more. Mm-hmm. And then I was really lucky that around 6 months after that, the owner of the affiliate at the time, which was then CrossFit Tyneside, was actually emigrating to the States.
Okay.
So I was in a position where I was in sixth form. I didn't really want to go to uni, so I was kind of looking for things to do instead of going to university at the time.
Yeah.
And the gym came up for sale, so I ended up buying it.
Nice.
And we started off super small. You know, we had like one barbell and a couple of bumper plates and a couple of kettlebells and about 4 or 5 mats.
Yeah.
And no pull up frame. You know, no pull up rig because nobody was doing pull ups back then.
Yeah.
Really. And then and we just went from there. You know, and that was like what 7-8 years ago now. And now we've grown. So now we've got a 15,000 square foot facility in pretty much in the centre of Newcastle with, you know, we offer 60 classes a week. We've got full gym 80 strength equipment in a sort of gym only environment. So we've got not a commercial gym, but it's kind of like a commercial gym. So we kind of try to cater to that market as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a huge CrossFit area, which is around 7,500 square foot, which is all kitted out by Lego. And then we've got a boot camp area as well, which is nice, which kind of is like an entry to CrossFit. So the facility flows quite well because we've got sort of a gym environment, and then we've got a boot camp environment, and then also a CrossFit facility there as well. So that's where we're at. So it's been quite a long journey, loads of ups and downs, but we're here now.
Nice, excellent stuff. So that's, what was that, 7-8 years ago, nearly? No.
Yeah, it was 2009, well,
yeah.
Kind of late 2009 that I found CrossFit, and then 2010 when I really started actually, you know,
digging
coaching
in.
And when I say coaching, there wasn't, you know, obviously I was 18,
yeah,
and it was completely new, and the level of coaching in general back then, as you'll know, was a lot lower than what it is now, you
definitely
know? I mean, there's so many different certifications that you can go and do, different training qualifications now that you can go and do to better yourself.
That's
back
true.
Then, those really weren't available, you know. I mean, there was like a CrossFit course in the UK once every 6 months.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where now they're every week. Mm. So it's just a different time now, you know, to what it was.
Yeah. Excellent. So that's a good segue into the next part, I think, because like that, you would have over the last number of years had some really, really great success with your performances in the Open and then going to regionals a number of different times. As an owner of a box, and I'm no doubt, and I know a lot of different owners of boxes who would compete quite a lot as well, but was there any particular big challenges for you for your career as a high-level athlete and a coach at the same time? Was there any particular areas that kind of got you caught, or did you just have to really be very disciplined about your process to stay organized?
Well, it was kind of like a two-part thing. So back in 2013 or 2014, I actually stepped back as the head coach of Reebok CrossFit Tyneside, and I employed Paul Warrior full time.
Yeah.
So he took on that role for me, really. So that allowed me the flexibility to then go and actually train like an athlete, you know. So I had 4 hours a day to train.
Nice.
As of kind of transition out of a smaller facility and into a bigger facility, the demands on me have increased. So, you know, I am now back working full time, whereas I wasn't. And I've also, my partners came into the business as well, Vanessa. So she now runs the business side of things.
Oh, okay.
And myself and Paul, we run the coaching side of the gym. So we run the coaches and stuff like that. But in the past, it was actually it wasn't easy, but it was manageable because my actual role within the business was very, very small. And obviously, as the business has grown, that's just increased and increased and increased and got larger.
Yeah.
But the main challenge that I see for people is just time and also motivation, because if you think about it as a box owner, you know, you've got morning classes and then you might have a lunchtime class, and then you've got a 3-4 hour gap between that and then your gym kind of reopening in the afternoon.
Exactly.
That was the main time when I trained. So I always trained on my own. I never trained with anybody. And you've got to be super motivated to do that, because it's hard. You know, it can get boring. And I think the amount of volume that you have to do as well, you have to be willing to make the time, you know, and it's tough. It is. It's tough, and it's really hard to find that balance between doing enough to make sure that your business is thriving and doing well and getting better, but then also making sure that you can still get better as an athlete. It's a very, very hard balance to find. And I personally think at the moment, with where CrossFit has gone and how high level the guys at the games are and even regionals are now, I think it's very, very hard to balance the two. I think it is a bit of black and white. It's a bit of a choice, you know. You're either a coach or you're an athlete, and I think that is the way it's gone.
No, I agree. I think where we've hit, maybe in the last year or so, maybe the last year and a half, there's definitely been a corner turned with the amount of commitment level needed. I think, be it even the very high level athletes that have just shown the amount of, like, with more media and with more awareness of what the highest level athletes are actually doing, everyone else who would be coming from the regionals or coming from the high end of the open just realizes, okay, I'm going to have to really, really aggressively commit to this to even have a kind of a chance, never mind a big, big chance.
I'm not saying that it's impossible, but people who can manage a business or, you know, university or whatever that may be, and still go to regionals and compete in the games, I mean, that's pretty remarkable, I think, because I think the amount of volume that you have to put into to get good at CrossFit is pretty high.
Yeah.
And to stay good and to stay able to do all of the different things that Castro's going to throw out of the hopper, I think it is remarkable. It's the only way to really describe it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll come back to that kind of I suppose some of the lessons and stuff like that we could learn from your experience with the highest level of kind of CrossFit athletes and coaches and stuff. But do you go back to your own kind of coaching practice? Do you have any particular preference for the style of CrossFit you coach, or do you find that you have any particular strengths that work really well for you when you're in your coaching job at the moment? Any kind of real personal strengths?
We have like remote athletes that we work with as well who through our program of business, where obviously we're not really hands on with those guys because they're not in the gym.
Yeah.
And then we have
your program of business is
what's yeah. Your... So Warrior Programming. So myself, Paul, and Tim, one of the other guys who works at the gym, and a guy called Alex who used to be at our gym, we've got that together.
Nice.
So we run that, and kind of Tyneside, Reebok CrossFit Tyneside, kind of like a hub for that. So a lot of our athletes that we work with are in the gym, and we offer like extra classes and things like that for them at the gym, which is pretty cool, because obviously now we've got such a nice facility, it's great to be able to offer that to them, you know, and be able to do some stuff which is a little bit more out there.
Definitely.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
But so with the athletes outside of the gym, I really like working with athletes who need to improve their like aerobic capacity or just get fitter. Mm-hmm. That's I would say my strength. I think that comes from a little bit of my endurance background, even though it was very short-lived.
Yeah.
I've just had that experience of, you know, what it takes to get good at being able to suffer basically for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Or 2 hours or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed that aspect of the remote coaching. But actually the coaching within the gym, I just enjoy coaching. Mm-hmm. I love being around people. I'm a people person, so I like people, like meeting people, like working with people, I like making people better. Mm-hmm. We're really lucky that we've got a really nice group of people at the gym. So we've got a really nice group of athletes that we work with. Mm-hmm. When I say athletes, I just mean members.
Yeah.
You know, a really nice group of members that we work with, and you know, the community's always growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting new members every week and every day, and it's great. But we feel like we're really lifting them up to like a quite a high level for a sort of gym member.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's not a competitive athlete, but quite a lot of our guys who aren't competitive athletes, they're good, you know, they've got muscle-ups, they've got handstand push-ups, they've got all these skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice for us to be able to develop that with them. And what I'm particularly excited about is the fact that this is, we opened our larger facility about a year ago now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of the guys who did the open last year for us, they were brand new, fresh into CrossFit.
Oh, nice.
So I'm excited to see how they've progressed.
Absolutely.
And yeah, doing the open this year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to go back to your question, I'd say my strength is just I'm a people person. And I enjoy coaching. I enjoy being around people.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy making people feel good, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think that's a vital part. I think that's, I would hazard to say that's one of the most vital parts for it, because you have to kind of enjoy. Like, I got up this morning at whatever, you're the same at like at kind of 6:15, I would say 4:30, 5 o'clock. You gotta look forward to and enjoy the actual chatting to people and stuff like that to really get up and get at this. So it can be,
you gotta love it. I mean, you don't you wouldn't do it if you didn't.
No.
Because it's a hard job, you know. People mm-hmm. think that it's easy, but it's really not. Like, you're the one getting up there, and like you say, getting up at 4:30, mm-hmm. getting to the gym and making sure the coffee machine's on, and
yeah.
making sure, you know, all the toilet rolls are full and all that stuff. You're the guy doing that, so
yeah,
it's not an easy job, but it's a very rewarding job.
Extremely so.
Ultimately, you're your own boss, so
yeah,
that's a winner in itself, you know.
Good stuff. So like that, we'll come back a little bit now towards your kind of competitive experience, and you would have been to regionals, was it four times?
Four times as an individual, and then once on a team.
Once on a team,
so,
nice.
2011, 2012, 2013, 2014 as an individual,
mm-hmm.
2015 on the team, and then 2016 as an individual, and then last year I didn't qualify. Last year I think I finished 53rd in Europe in the Open, but I was happy with that because I had quite a big year of I had a big year of setting the gym and stuff up, so I was pretty happy with that performance.
Yeah, it's pretty respectable performance, but the. I suppose, would you have any particular advice for athletes who like that? Maybe not necessarily in the top 50 or something like that, but might be kind of edging towards the top 200 or something like that. And they're looking to kind of push a little further and to try and make it a multiple, multi-year regionals appearances potentially, like even 1 or 2 years, or they're just trying to really make big progress. Do you have any particular things that you have found have helped you over the years stay that resilient and stay that that strong in staying motivated for your performances as well as physically able to actually go for it?
I think for me personally, I would say just stay fit. Mm. It was like a couple of years ago, there was this massive transition into like the off season.
Mm-hmm.
And the off season became basically just getting fat and lifting loads of weight.
Yeah.
My coaches who I've worked with in the past, there has been an off season where strength work, particularly for me, has been more biased.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always stayed fit. And what I've found is when it comes back around to sort of this time of year, I'm not dreading it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've already been training all summer, so I'm already in decent shape
mm-hmm.
by the time it gets to now. So whereas most people are kind of just starting their, or they've just started in November, they're sort of their open prep. Mine was going from like after I had my month off after regionals. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is just stay fit. Don't lose what you've worked so hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've already put in all of the work to get to where you are. You don't need to lose it all to gain like a little bit of strength or gain a little bit of skill. You can do both.
Mm-hmm.
You can develop strength and still maintain. You might not necessarily get any better, but you can still maintain that aerobic capacity that you've got.
Yeah.
And then that would be from a training point of view. And then from like a mental point of view, you've just got to want to go there. Like I have to admit personally, probably the biggest thing that let me down last year was the fact that I wasn't actually that focused on it.
Yeah.
I was just focused on the business.
Mm.
You know, the business was the main focus, not going to regionals. I honestly think that was probably the biggest component of of not going, because I'm pretty good at being able to make myself suffer for like 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But it is just that mental aspect of like, are you actually committed, and do you actually want to go?
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't have that last year.
Yeah, yeah. I think that can be an interesting one, because I was speaking to somebody there yesterday about this, and I suppose I've watched a number of documentaries over the last while and always been really interested in sports psychology, but having that simple drive, like any very, very high performer just has this innate drive that they really, really want to push ahead. So it's really interesting that you say that, because I see even the likes of like Fraser or Tia Claire or any of these kind of characters, even the very, very highest level Europeans, they're so focused, and to kind of switch off from that for a few months is very difficult to regain it, because you will be behind a little bit. But did you just find I think certain years you can just really commit it to it. You can just commit yourself, your whole energy to it. And then like that with the business this year or last year just gone, you would have found it more challenging. It just has a different drive, really, so to speak.
Yeah, well, it's just that thing of like, you know, you have like two glasses. You only have so much water to put in both of the glasses. I can't remember. I'm making a complete matter of the analogy here.
Another one.
You know, if you've got like work and then if you've got like business and then you've got training,
mm-hmm.
There was no water in the training one. It was all in the business glass because that's where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this year it's a little bit less, but it's still, you know, I'm still more focused on the business than I am as an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still training, and I'm still training hard, and I'm still in decent shape. But, you know, I'm not going to kind of hang my head in shame if I don't make it back to regionals.
Cause, no.
You know, I've just, at the moment, I'm just focused on other things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just focused on other things at the moment. That's not to say that I won't have another proper stab at it in the future.
Yeah.
Just at the moment, it just doesn't make sense for me to take, you know, 4 or 5 hours out of my working day to train.
No, and I think exactly like that, especially if you have, for a lot of other coaches and owners and stuff, if your business is thriving, and it obviously is, then you have to kind of be mindful that, okay, maybe I don't, you know, especially with your significant experience in the regionals and stuff like that, as it gets further into the kind of rabbit hole of difficulty to maintain that, like the business is going to be the main priority for the remainder of your life or for a good number of years. So you want to try and really focus on that as much as possible. And it really is an enjoyable experience. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you have like a very finite window with any business where you've set it up and you've got a very finite window to make sure that you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a lot of things right. I mean, there's some things that we're not doing as well as we could, but we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like I say, you know, it's the same with every business. Nobody does everything perfect.
No.
And it's really just getting all of those things mastered before I then say, right, well, that's kind of sorted. So now I can move on to the next thing, and the next thing might be another business, or it might be whatever, you know. It could be going back to doing more training or whatever that may be. But it's... I'm one of those people that I like to have one thing that I'm focused on.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm giving 100% of my attention to,
mm-hmm.
or at least 90% of my attention to. And I just find it very hard, well, we can't do that with both things, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I have so much like admiration for people that can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, because there is people out there who can do both.
It's very difficult, though.
So not, difficult. Not me.
No. So we'll move on actually to speaking a little bit about some of our kind of favorites, other elements. So do you have any particular coaches that you're a huge, huge fan of at the moment, be it in CrossFit or in the general fitness world or anything like that? Is there any particular people you're a real fan of these days, coaching wise?
Yeah, there's a few. So I actually really like Ben Bergeron's stuff. I think he's pretty cool. He kind of the same sort of stuff that I chatted about before in terms of like off season. He's very much an advocate of staying fit all year round. So if you look at his stuff, you know, they do have it is a heavily biased strength program, but they're still getting out of breath 2-3 times a week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and training hard, you know. Actually, a coach who I used to work with, James Jousey. I have a lot of. He would be a great one for you to get on the podcast, actually. I've got a lot of admiration for him. He really looks at things from outside the box. Looks at things from a completely different point of view. And he's now working with some really high level athletes. So like games athletes, so Cam Briggs, Sarah Signal's daughter, Elliot Simmons, all those guys. He's working with them and you know, he's doing great things with them, but he's coming at it from a completely different point of view. So I admire him for the fact that he's went, well, actually, no, this is what I believe works, and this is what I'm going to have my athletes do. And then the proof's in the pudding, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's those two. And then, to be honest, I actually, myself and Paul, we quite like the Jim Jones guys. Yeah. So, like Mark Twain, Bobby Maximus, they were kind of one of the reasons that we got into CrossFit.
Back in the day,
saw the 300, saw the 300 guys and thought, wow, these guys are jacked, shredded. That's who we want to be. So those guys as well, you know, and I like the fact, again, that they have that mentality of, well, this is what we do, and if you don't like it, you know, like it or love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. So they would probably be my three.
Cool. Super stuff.
Yeah, and I like, as well, I like Chris Hinshaw and all of the endurance stuff that he's doing, and the angle that he's bringing into the sport as well, getting people to actually focus on their, treat their endurance at the same level as Olympic weightlifting or the gymnastics, you know. That's pretty cool, and I think that change in mentality with a lot of athletes has been great, and it's actually, to be honest, that's probably disseminated down into members of your box.
Oh yeah,
I don't know whether
much.
You found this as well, but
definitely.
But now people are all about the 10x400 meter runs, and you know, they love when it's like EMOM Wednesday and it's 40 minutes of work.
Exactly.
They now know the benefits of that, and they can see Rich Ronan or Matt Fraser or whoever it may be hanging out their backside for 40 minutes, and they think, well, right, this is what I need to do. So I admire the fact that that Chris has been able to do that and change that mentality in a lot of, even, you know, gym athletes. So it's just pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's excellent. I would agree with all of those kind of points. I think I definitely have noticed that we introduced a kind of an Endurance Wednesday, exactly, there a few months back. And we've had it in kind of here and there, but people absolutely love it. And with a little bit of skill work, it's absolute gold, like, and it definitely pushes everybody else on, because there's opportunities then for challenging different time domains later on in the week or around the week, and it just definitely pushes some of those stronger people to really go and make some progress, which is really, really interesting. Do you have any particular books you're a fan of? Are you much of a reader, Jordan?
I'm not much of a reader, to be honest. I'm more of a podcaster, actually. So I listen to podcasts every day.
Nice.
That was my resolution. I never do New Year's resolutions, but that was my one last year, was listening to a podcast every day. So
that's
my thing. I listen to podcasts in the car.
Nice. Are you a Joe Rogan fan, or are you a little bit more offbeat than he?
I'm a Joe Rogan fan, so I like Joe Rogan, and then I listen to the Wodcast.
Oh yeah.
Podcast. And then I also listen to The Fighter and the Kid, with Brendan Schaub and Brian Callan. They're like a couple of guests who are normally, they're on Joe Rogan quite common.
Oh yes.
Quite often. That's more just like a mess around podcast, more just like good fun. But I like the Joe Rogan podcast, because he gets a lot of people on there who are like super interesting and in fields that I wouldn't normally research or go and look into.
Exactly.
Which is pretty cool. And because you're in the car, it's like forced listening, you know. So it's good. You're like learning as you're driving. It's worthwhile, I think.
Absolutely. So as well, Jordan, before we kind of leave you to it, what's your kind of next step? So you're obviously focusing on the business quite a lot and really, really growing Reebok CrossFit Tyneside and staying strong as an athlete. But have you any particular coaching developments, next step for yourself, or anything in your head, different courses, different coaches to work with, different people to check out? Anything in particular in the pipelines for the next 6 months or so, maybe or more?
Yeah, so I want to start working towards the level three, the CrossFit level three. I know I'm not there yet, but I'd like to start putting the framework in place to get there. Which is something that I really do want to do. I'd like to try and be the first. Myself and Paul have said that we'd like to try and be the first ones in the Northeast to get the Northeast of England to get the level three. That would be probably my number one goal in terms of coaching.
Cool.
In terms of the business, I'd like to hit 1,000 members. So where we are at the moment, we're around just shy of 700.
Brilliant.
So I'd like to get that up to over 1,000 this year. Ideally, kind of before the open, if I could.
Yeah.
And then have an enjoyable open. But that's the main goal of the business. And then as an athlete, you know, I'm just going to see how it goes, to be honest. If the Open goes well, potentially a trip to regionals might be back on the cards. But like I said to you earlier on, you know, I'm not really putting any pressure on myself. I'm just going to see how it goes. And if it, obviously with these regional changes, it actually favours people in the UK quite a lot.
Absolutely.
They're not having to compete with the crazy Scandinavians who are super fit, you know. So it makes a massive difference to people in the UK. And I think that it's grown so much in the UK. I think out of that 20 people that qualify in that Central European Regional, I just think quite a lot of them will be UK athletes.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's very hard to say because ultimately it comes down to what the workouts are. If Castro programs 5 weeks of thrusters and burpees, I'll probably do all right. If he programs 140 kilo cleans, I'll definitely not do all right. So, you know, it's all in his hands, really. So, Dave, sort me out. Sort me out, mate.
Good stuff. Take care, Jordan. Good man.
Thanks, mate. Thank you very much for having me.
Cool, Jordan. Yeah, we'll leave it to it, dude. Your programming company again is Warrior Programming, yeah?
Yeah, warriorprogramming.com. So we've got a new website launching in the next sort of couple of weeks, which will have a lot more packages on there. So things that people can buy. So we've got blogs, we've got pre-written programs, and then we've also got individual programs that we do as well. So we're also launching a master's program, and we're going to have a female program in the next probably 3 or 4 months. So
brilliant.
2 or 3 months. Nice. So we've got a couple of new things coming out there in the pipeline, which should be pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely hook up those links. It's been fantastic to have you on, Jordan. And best of luck with the business, and we hope to see you in a regionals.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully.
Touch wood.
Thank you very much for having me.
No worries, mate. Thanks, so. Cheers.
No problem. Thanks,
Jordan.
Take care.
Thanks, bro. Bye bye.